Well, it's good to be here again tonight. It's good to see so many faces and even new faces. Seeing Corey up here preaching brought back memories. About 20 years ago, 21 years ago or so, when I was just an 18-year-old kid and I had a burden to preach the gospel also, just like Corey does, and I stood up here and was nervous as a cat and sometimes lost my train of thought, like I even do sometimes now. But I'm thankful that there were some men in this church that were willing to take a gamble. You know, it's amazing what people will gamble and what they won't gamble. People will throw their money away on the lottery and who knows what else, but they won't gamble their time or their money or anything. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. That sounds pretty stupid, doesn't it? You ever throw any bread in the water? Don't tell me you have it. Come on. Feeding the ducks, maybe, you know. Come on. Use your imagination. Did you ever find it? No, it sounds pretty dumb. You know, cast the bread upon the waters. And that's what we're doing. We're casting our bread upon the waters. We are taking something and we're just giving it out, whether it's our time, our effort, our energy, our money, our prayers, whatever we're doing for the gospel, we are simply throwing it out there and trusting God to bless it. And if we do it with the right spirit, the right heart, the Bible says we will find it after many days. So I'm thankful again that there were some men that were willing to gamble, take a gamble, and send me out. I have been in Poland for 7 years. If you don't know me, I see a few new faces tonight. I was in Mexico with my wife and kids for almost 13 years. And I'm thankful for the time we had there. It was a great time. We have great, blessed memories. And 7 years ago, we believed God wanted us to go to Poland. So we went along with Brent and Janice Riggs and learned Polish and began preaching on the streets in Warsaw. And it's been great. It's been a super marvelous time. We've had some real victories and we're just thankful for it. And we thank you all for your prayers for us, for your support, and just knowing that you're here praying for us keeps us going many times. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Aren't you glad I'm not long-winded? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It is Friday night, right? 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So what a prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the gospel that saved our soul. We thank you that you had mercy upon us. We are so unworthy creatures, and we thank you that you loved us in spite of our sin. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, for you to speak to our hearts tonight, and you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. It's a phrase in this verse 23 that stuck out to me a while back. It says here, and this I do for the gospel's sake. First of all, the gospel. What is the gospel? The Bible says there's only one gospel. There's not many, many gospels, not many, many ways to get to heaven like some people think. If you think that all religions lead to God, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible says very clearly, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Paul preached the gospel. The question is, what did he preach? Did he say all religions lead to God? Did he say go to church and you'll make it? Did he say give your money to me and you'll be in heaven? Did he say get baptized? No, he did not. Look in verse 3. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then he was buried. And then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. The Bible says the gospel is a message that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's not a very pleasant message if you understand every word in that verse. It says Christ died for our sins. It doesn't sound so bad when you say our, does it? Try saying my. Huh? Try saying Christ died for my sins. You see, it's hard to admit that you have sins. It's hard to admit that the little things that you consider mistakes and shortcomings and faults and whatever other word you may describe it as God sees it as sin. And the Bible says when Christ died on the cross, He died because of your sin. He died, in other words, in your place. What that means is you deserve to be on that cross. You deserve to die that kind of a death and to be in hell for all eternity. That's the gospel. That's not a very pleasant message if you have a high opinion of yourself. But it's the gospel. The Bible calls it the gospel of our salvation. You know what? It's the only hope you ever have of seeing eternity with God. The only hope. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember, I'm not long-winded. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You want to live forever? You want to be immortal? You want to have life eternal with God? There's only one way. It's the gospel. It's through the gospel. You see, the gospel is the only hope anybody in this world has to be saved. That is why we've been here every single night. And if you miss one night, you missed it. That's why we've been here. Because for the gospel's sake, the gospel is the only hope. I mean, if the gospel is not the only way, why did Jesus send the apostles out to preach? Does that make any sense to you at all? Hey, I got some news for you guys. All religions lead to God, so go into all the world and preach this gospel. That didn't make any sense. If they're all going to get there somewhere, one way or the other, by their own way, then leave them alone. Why stir up something that doesn't need to be stirred up? The gospel is the only way. It's the only way you can be saved. You see, when Jesus died, He paid for your sins. And the Bible says that you must accept this gospel. You must accept this truth. You must accept this fact that Jesus Christ is the only one who could pay for your sins and forgive your sins. It is the gospel. And that's why Paul, in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." You see, if the gospel was not as important as it says it is, then why would Paul say this? Why would he go through all the extra trouble for the gospel's sake? You see what he said about himself? He said, "To the Jew, I became as a Jew. To them who were without law, I became as one without law. To the weak, I became as a weak man." Paul did things that were against his very nature for the gospel's sake. The big question tonight, what are you doing for the gospel's sake? Do you realize how much of a debt you have to the gospel itself? This message has made us all debtors. We have talked about this during the week. You owe everything you are to the gospel if you're saved tonight. Some of you young people are blessed just like me. You were born in a Christian home. And sometimes we, blessed people, forget where we could be. We forget what it could be like. Because we never lived in a home where the parents were ungodly and didn't seek God, didn't thank God, and didn't praise God, and didn't worship God. And we sort of take these things for granted. But you should not take them for granted. If your parents loved God, loved Him from the day you were born and served Him and were saved people and raised you in the Word of God, you have a tremendous debt. You ought to realize there are some things you should do for the gospel's sake. And your friends may tell you, no, it's a lot more fun over here. Let's go do this. You know, you didn't ever do this. I need to initiate you in the good life. Believe me, they've got nothing to offer you. Nothing. In fact, if the truth was known, they're probably a little bit envious of you. I'll bet you they are. They'd love to have parents who were home every night. A father who didn't come home drunk and wasting all the money on who knows what. This I do for the gospel's sake. You know, it's amazing what we do for the sake of whatever. For the sake of unity. Have you ever found yourself being quiet for the sake of unity? Oh, I don't want to stir up this new hornet's nest. You know, if I give them the gospel, you know, they might get upset at me. I want some unity. What's so important about unity? After all, when it comes to, you know, who's the favorite team, there's never unity in that, is there? No, the Spurs are better. No, I like this team. No, I like that team. And boy, there's no more unity there. But boy, you don't want to say anything about the gospel because you might, you know, cause some problems. You know, what's really important? What's important? Getting divided and fighting over who's your favorite team or giving the gospel to somebody? Who cares about, you know, who's better and who's faster and who's stronger and that stuff? How about just doing something for the sake of the gospel? We human beings are by nature selfish. You know, if you have kids, you know exactly what I mean. One of the first words a kid learns is mine. Mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If it's in your hand, it's mine. If it's on the floor, it's mine. If I had it yesterday, it's mine. It's always mine. It's never yours. It's always mine. And we do so many things for our sake, don't we? Oh man, we have done a lot of things. We have sacrificed, we have gone, we have labored, we have sweated, we have done many things. We've had fist fights. We've had all kinds of things that we've done for our sake. Because we hide it, don't we? We don't want it to be known. It's for our sake. I don't think that I've ever heard anybody, and I myself never said, for my sake. But we hide it. You know, we like to blame Pete, don't we? Will you shut up for Pete's sake? It's not Pete. It's you. You want quiet because you don't want to hear it. Right? Or you say, would you give me that for goodness sake? Would you please quit fighting? Goodness sake? And then the world says, for God's sake, for Christ's sake, don't they? Do they mean for God? Are they interested in what God wants? Of course not. Are they interested in Christ? No, they're using His name in vain. We do so many things for our sake. The question is, what are we doing for the gospel's sake? Are we willing to do some things for the gospel's sake that we were doing a heartbeat for our own sake? Man, for our own comfort, we would do a lot of things. For our own popularity, shoot, we'll do a lot of things. For money, for a raise, for popularity, we'll do all kinds of things. For fun, to give ourselves pleasure. We'll stay up to the wee hours of the night to watch some favorite movie that's coming on, won't we? But man, if somebody invites to go out during door knocking past 7 o'clock in the evening, they know, I'm sorry, but you know, that's my bedtime. I'm sorry, I just gotta get some sleep. But if their favorite movie comes on, well, you know, I gotta watch that. Hey, that's where you borrow a VCR. Come on, remember that? You can tape it and go to bed, right? Oh, but for our own sake, we will do all kinds of crazy things. What have you done? What are you doing for the gospel's sake? Just the sake of the gospel. Not for your sake. Not for money. Not for a pat on the back. Not for someone to acknowledge what you've done. But just because the gospel is so beautiful and changed your life and changed the lives of those around you, you say, you know what? I'm going to do some more. I got to taste something good. I want to do some more. You know, if any of you have ever won one soul, you know what I mean. Amen. Man, you catch your first fish. Woo! You say, hey, let's go out door knocking again. And of course, you think it's going to happen the next night too, you know. And well, you just raise it, you know, you start counting them up. Well, see, 7 days in a week and there's 4 weeks in a month. Man, I could have 30 by the end of this month. But you know, you get a good taste. You get a good taste in your mouth and you want to go out and do it again. Until you lose the vision. You get thinking about yourself again, and your comfort, and your time, and your energy, and your sleep, and this and that, whatever it is. And you say, well, you know, others can do it, or I'm too busy, or we all have excuses. Some things you can do for the gospel's sake. How about just showing up here? You know, people, and maybe you don't, but I know people who invite friends and co-workers to church all the time. And you know, what if all of us used the same excuses for not showing up on any given Sunday, any given Wednesday, and a new person shows up and there's five of us here? You ought to go visit the churches in Mexico or come to Warsaw when there's a small church starting out. And you've got about five people meeting together. Four of them are American preachers and their wives. And one lonely Mexican believer that just got saved. And somebody else comes and they say, wow, is this all there is? I mean, come on, what's going on here? Well, it happens all the time in Poland. You know, we got people coming and they're visiting and they come in and say, is this all? And they're really afraid that we're some kind of a cult. And that we are the only ones in the world who are meeting here and believe that we are and have the truth. They don't realize that we're just one of many, many groups that meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus and preach the gospel. But they think that we think we're the only ones. They walk in and say, if this is all there is, I don't want any part of it. This is too weird for me. And there was 10 people that didn't show up that day. How about just showing up? Just come. Be an encouragement, you know? Open your mouth and sing. And man, let's make some noise in here.
Amen.
People come in and hear us singing and they think, why aren't these people happy? They talk about being saved, you know, and it looks like they just lost their best friend. Just come, you know, and have a part. How about enduring some things? You know, we are so impatient also by nature, I think. Just the littlest thing. You know, some of you people are very patient people. I know you are. I know you very well. You're very patient. But we've all got our buttons, don't we? You know, we've all got some things that really get us uptight, you know? Maybe somebody, you know, at work, you know, picks up our pen, our favorite pen, and boy, you gotta let them know, you know, that is my pen. Don't touch my pen. We get so, I mean, this is a lost guy, and we're getting upset about him touching our pen or our screwdriver or doing this. Hey, is that really a big deal? How about enduring a little bit of discomfort for the gospel's sake? You know, you ever thought about trying to witness to that guy the next day after this incident? Well, that would be a tough one, wouldn't it? Man, he just saved me and then he changed my life. Really? I'm glad he did, you know. Otherwise, I'd be a dead man. How about enduring some things? How about thinking about, you know, somebody else and what they're seeing in our lives? How about disrupting our own schedule? We have our schedule, don't we? Well, we have our favorite TV program. Do not call me on Tuesday between 9 and 10 p.m. That's when, I don't know, CSI or who knows what comes on. Man, I don't answer the phone. Don't bother me with your problems. Don't invite me out to go visiting because I am busy. For the gospel's sake, you know, we can disrupt our schedule, rearrange some things, tape the show if nothing else, you know? Come on, for the gospel's sake, we ought to be willing to do a lot of things.
Amen.
For the gospel's sake. Paul said here he did things that were against his very nature. Well, I just can't talk to people. I just don't know how to talk to people. I'm a very quiet person. Should I ask your husband? Should I ask your wife how quiet you really are when you want to be loud and when you want to really get your point across? So maybe you are quiet, okay, but for the gospel's sake, you can't go out there and just tell somebody some good news for the gospel's sake? Or are we so driven by this, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? Let me see the contract first. No, hey, just for the gospel's sake. Simply because somebody loved you enough to die for you, you ought to be willing to do a little bit of something for the gospel's sake. Tell somebody, and maybe you can preach. Have you ever tried? Maybe you can go on the streets and preach the gospel. I guarantee you, ask anybody in my family, anybody that I went to school with, and when I was 13, 14 years old, nobody would have guessed I would have been preaching on the streets. Ask them. You think Bill was timid? Good grief. Anybody looked at me just a little bit cross, and I'd be bawling my eyes out. I didn't like people, you know, looking at me and laughing at me, whatever. I didn't like it. Careful. But, you know, give it a try. Go out there and preach, you know. And if you can't preach, someone will probably tell you, hey, brother, you know, I think you need to work on your message, you know. You need to get some organization, do some more studying, you know. But they're not going to say, hey, shut up. You shouldn't be doing that. They might say, hey, come along with me for a week or for a month, and I'll help you out.
Amen.
But give it a shot for the gospel's sake.
Amen.
Get out there and do something. You can. You can tell somebody. You can maybe preach. You can pray. I know you can pray. If you don't pray, you ought to be ashamed. You can pray. Pray for those who go out preaching. Pray for your lost neighbors. Pray for your lost family. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for those who need prayer. For the gospel's sake. And no, you probably won't get nothing out of it. It's hard to pray, isn't it? Nobody sees you doing it. No one pats you on the back. No one says, hey, that was a wonderful prayer. And if they do, you better run. I hate that. Don't you hate that? That was a good prayer. Come on, man. I wasn't praying for you to hear me. But you can pray. Pray it on. Pray in your own closet. How about doing something like that for the gospel's sake? Paul says here that he was made all things to all men. All things to all men. That means he could adapt. That means he could understand, he could empathize, he could see some people that needed the gospel and think about their situation and their need and not worry about what he wanted or what he was going through, and he could simply put himself in their shoes somehow and give them the gospel. He can be a servant. That's what Paul was. He says in verse 19, I have made myself a servant unto all. Oh, we don't like that unto all, do we? Oh, we'll serve the guy that we respect, won't we? How about serving everyone? Amen. How about just being a servant to everyone that you can see and say, hey, how can I help you? You have a problem? How can I help you? And you never know what kind of a chance you'll get to give them the gospel. Amen. A neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a family member. Hey, just be a servant for the gospel's sake. Amen. Wasn't Christ a servant to us? Oh, yes, he was. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Notice he says, I do. He didn't say a plan. He didn't say I'm praying about it. He didn't say I would like to, or I theorize. You know, this mission conference is not about, you know, what we can plan, not about what we can think about, not about what we can theorize, not a bunch of theories. It's about what we can do. Amen. What we can do to reach more, to send more. And in case you haven't figured it out, this church likes to send out missionaries. This church has sent out quite a few of its own. They can do it again. Who knows? Maybe you can go for the gospel's sake. Maybe you can simply say, yeah, I think I need to go. I don't know. But you can do something. You can do something for the gospel's sake. You can give. You can give your kids. Oh, it's not a very nice thought, is it? Some of you parents think, you want me to send my kids to Poland? Why not? Why not? Somebody gave their kids, come over here and preach to you. Hey, just think back about how many people sent out their own families and their own kids to all over the world to preach the gospel. You can give the kids. You can give your time. You can give your energy. You can give your money. You can send somebody else on their way. There's all kinds of things. You just use your imagination and quit thinking about yourself and what you can do for yourself. Quit thinking about, you know, what I can do for my sake. And just take a little bit of time once a month and just ask yourself, what am I doing for the gospel's sake? I mean, by nature, I have no doubt by nature, we all, most of the time, will think about ourselves. So I don't have to encourage you. Now, don't forget about yourself here, because I wouldn't want you to overlook yourself and your needs, because you're important too, so don't go overboard. Hey, you'll think about yourself plenty. Think about what I can do for the gospel's sake.